So I have three questions in here. The first question, I'm reading it out. Venerable Brie, fragrances and perfumes. Some people may not be aware that some fabric softeners are made from animal renderings and are perfumed as well. So make sure that next time when you come for meditation, don't wear clothes that were mixed with fabric softeners because it's too smelly. And these fabric softeners, they are made from chemicals which may not be good for the skin, and they produce a lot of fragrance that is abusive to the nose. It hurts. People may be allergic to it. So I hope you don't mind if some people request, if you wear fabric softeners or if you wear perfume and cologne, you may be asked to be excused for this session and come back for another session, because you will be affecting your neighboring meditator. The person who is sitting next to you may not be able to stand the shampoo that you use on your hair. Some people use very pungent smell, pungent shampoo. So if that is the case, please prepare that. I don't know, maybe Lee or Bunny or somebody will ask you, please be excused and come back in another session, because people are allergic, they cannot meditate where people are putting on a lot of perfume, cologne, and shampoo. So, and also fabric softeners are made from animal renderings. So if you want to protect animals from being slaughtered for consumer products, don't do that. And there's other organic fabric softeners that you can buy, not just your natural fabric softeners, not just the chemicals. By the way, chemicals, fabric softeners are no good for you. They're not for you, not good for the skin. So, also make sure that in the summertime, don't wear, when you're coming for meditation in the summertime when it's hot, don't wear bikini to come to the meditation hall. Don't be surprised. I saw people wearing something close to bikini coming to the gracious hall. Don't do that. When you come to a place of worship, you should respect that place. It does not matter what places of worship you go to. It does not matter what religion. When you go there, you have to respect that place. You don't wear very short, maybe hot pants or low V, no cuts. Don't do that. And some people also, they wear iron heel, high heels, with a click, click, clack, clack, you know, clocking on the floor. That's no good too. When they walk as if they were a general of in the Navy. They think that they have long legs and people will appreciate them. We don't. Next question. Venerable, when a person dies, people are usually sad. Could you explain a healthy way to look at the end of life? Well, death is, if your karma is not purified, in other words, you don't have a purification of your karma, when you die, you still roll into the next round of reincarnation. You either go to the three vicious realms, or the three benevolent realms. The good ones is you roll into a reincarnation of another person, another human body. Or you become an existent ascension being in heaven. So many guardian angels, we call them guardian angels in heaven. So you become one of the guardian angels or ascension existence in heaven. Or you become an Asura. Asura, it's in between human and heavenly beings, except that their prosperity, their enjoyment is higher than humans, but lower than the heavenly bodies. So there's another classification called Asuras. When you're in that group, that's a result of performing good deeds with attachment. Say you donate something, you perform good deeds, but you have a lot of attachment, you have a lot of competition in you, or you always have some anger in you. Even though you perform good deeds, you roll into the reincarnation of being Asura, which enjoy the merits, almost equivalent merits as heavenly bodies, but you have that feelings of competition and still have that hatred and anger in you. So that's another classification, but they're still good. They enjoy what the guardian angels enjoy, except that the moral conduct is not as good. Those are the three meritorious realms. You can also roll into another three realms, one of the three realms, which is vicious realms. Animal realm, you become an animal, or ghosts, or infernal, victims of hell. And where would you go depends on what you have done when you were alive in your previous life, what you have done. Your karma brought you over there, not Buddha, not God. You create your own destiny. You perform all the bad deeds, then you automatically, the causality will pull you down to hell or pull you down to the animal realm. So an animal could come from a previous incarnation of a man and a woman. So if you kill animals for food, you could have killed your friends, your relatives. Could even be your mom and dad. So we never kill animals for food. The Buddhists never kill animals. You don't know. Animals have feelings too. Don't say animals have no feeling. They have no soul. We can eat them. Animals also have feelings. And I encounter a lot of questions from Q&A period. All kinds of questions coming to me. And one of the questions is like this. You said that the Buddhist teaching advocate vegetarianism. By the way, plants also have life. Why do you eat plants? Vegetables have life. I said no. Vegetables have photosynthesis. It has movement, but it has no life. The definition of life is humans or animals, they have maternal love. Mother dog and the puppies, they love each other. They have sister and brother's love, father, maternal love, and family. They also have their family love. They feel sad too. They feel happy too. They feel painful too. They have feelings. Their life has feelings. Whereas plants, do they have fatherly love or motherly love or brotherly love among plants? And some people will argue, how do you know they don't have fatherly love? A spinach could love each other, you know. a corn in a cornfield. The corn that's next to it may love the other corn. How do you know that they don't have fatherly love? And I say, how do you know that they have? How do you know? If you ask me, how do you know they don't have, how do you know you have? You can't prove they have, can you? But I know that if you grow corn, if you eat that corn, you have thousands of seeds that you can regrow them again. Vegetables could have a lot of seeds produced. You do not terminate a vegetable life because all these seeds, thousands of seeds will be produced from one plant and you can replant it. If you kill a dog, can that dog be created again? No. So there's a difference. So when a person dies, people are usually sad, yes? I think in addition to being sad, he should be alertest too. What is this alertness? The alertness should be something, quote unquote, when would be my turn? Now this person is dying. There will be that my turn will come when I'm doing the same thing. I'll be dying too. And do I just wait for it? Do I just wait for my doom day? Oh, maybe I shouldn't worry about it. I just enjoy life. I want to do what I want to do. I have money. I go spending, traveling. I eat what I want to eat. I just feel happy and it will be okay. I don't care. Is that your attitude of life? It does not matter what you eat, what you enjoy. It does not matter your materialistic style of life. You still have to, that turned, that you'll be dead too. In addition to feeling sad, you should be feeling alert, very alert on what happened to me. My turn will come. What should I do now? I don't want to go into the next round of life and death. I don't want to go into the next round of reincarnation. I want to go to nirvana, like Buddha entered into. I like to go beyond life and death. No more suffering for me. I had enough. I had enough for this life. I don't want any more suffering in life. Can I do that? Can I refrain myself from all this suffering? Can I eliminate all suffering? Eliminate all my mental afflictions? Yes, you can. That's what the Buddha said. You can eliminate this round of reincarnation, this round of karmic force to pull you into three vicious realms and the three meritorious realms. Don't say you're bored with life. Open up the treasures inside of you. Find those treasures. Those treasures will lead you to a map. That map will lead you out from the ocean of life and death. The Buddha will give you a boat and the oars. And you roll according to that map to get out from the ocean of life and death. You want to go from this shore onto that shore. You want to cross this ocean of mental afflictions. This is the shore of confusion, the shore of natural disasters, the soul of mental afflictions of jealousy, hatred, greediness, egoism, envy, fraudulence, negligence, cruelties, atrocities. And people say, no, I found beauty. I saw everything as beautiful. That's your attitude to life. That's good. You treat everything as beautiful. But you cannot prevent from the beauty to disintegrate. You cannot prevent the autumn not to be winter. You cannot prevent the spring not to be autumn. Why do you want to attach to beauty? I want to enjoy the moment now. I want to look at the cherry blossom. I want to look at the camellia growing red. I want the green pastures. Yeah, enjoy that particular peaceful, beautiful moment. No question about it. We enjoy that. And the Buddha said, yeah, enjoy the present moment. But be prepared. Be prepared for something better. Learn something better. So, in addition to being sad, you should be alert. When would be my turn? When people mourn at my bedside and I have to bid farewell to them. Would I be feeling good when I go away? Some people struggle in bed, in hospital bed for years. Some people struggle in that last breath for days, sometimes for months, because of the karma they created for themselves. You created your own destiny. Could you explain a healthy way to look at the end of life? Why don't I change my question? Could you explain to me a way to get away from life and death? Not just to look at it. Is there a healthy way to look at it? Would you be deceived by what you're looking at? Don't just look at it. When my turn comes, how do I resolve it? How do I go in that path that I'm not just an onlooker? I'm a practitioner. I'm a walker of the path, not just an onlooker of the path. How do I look at it? So what? I tell you how to look at it, so what? If you just look at it that way, like looking at the TV, I tell you to experience it, to walk it. So I just mentioned today the 9 stages of mental development. We just mentioned when you are doing meditation, you're achieving the samadhi through samatha and vipassana. And we explain it to you, there are 3 adjustments to meditation. The first is, adjustment stands for A, the 3 A's of meditation. 1, to posture, you already know. 2, to breath, you already know, because you've got your object of attention. Adjustment to the mind, you know it today. So you got the 3 adjustments. Why did you practice it? To find out more about yourself. Open up that treasures inside of you. Don't say you're bored with life. Don't say you want to spend your time in watching television, telling on the telephone and your cell phone, and what are you doing in your daily life, in our daily lives? Why don't we spend our time in exploring the treasures inside of us? You'll find wonders. You don't need to find 7 wonders of the world outside. There are millions of wonders of the world inside of you, inside of us. So that answers this question. Next question, last question. I have a very active monkey mind and struggle with chronic pain. Therefore, I have 2 obstacles to achieving a successful meditation session. Can you offer any suggestion? First of all, you have a very active monkey mind. So you said you have 2 obstacles to overcome. The first one is you have a very active monkey mind. And the second one is that monkey is sick. Not just in the mind, in the body too. He's always have chronic pain. How do we analyze this? Well, let's take a look at the chronic pain first, which could be a pain of the body, a pain of the back, of the head, somewhere chronic pain. What's the origin of this pain? What's the origin of this chronic sickness? We call it pain as a sickness, right? What is the cause of this sickness? Why don't we trace to the origin, to the cause of this sickness? According to Vimalakirti Sutra, Vimalakirti Sutra, it says the Buddha is the doctor introducing medicines to cure all sentient beings of their sickness. And what is the cause of the sickness? The cause of the sickness is from the mind. It's from clinging, from attachment. It's from this illusory mind attaching to various things and creating all kinds of karmic energy to dominate yourself. In other words, we are constantly creating karma through speech, through our behavior, through our thoughts. What kind of behavior? You know it. And thoughts. All this karma you create this bad karma, which will result finally in the bad effect. And this pain is because of this, what you've created, not only in this life, in the previous lives. Could be, I don't know, this is my guess, is could be you subject some animals to chronic pain. Now you're suffering from chronic pain yourself. How do people subject animals to chronic pain? I remember when I was in Hong Kong, I talked about how the bladder of a bear, of a black bear, could be used as medicine in the Chinese medicine. And some of the manufacturers of medicine, they raise bear farms. And they catch black bears, and then they put them in cages. They open a hole in the body, and they use tubes to suck the bladder liquid out, and they manufacture medicines. And they have a lot of experiences in raising this kind of bears. They subject the bears to so much pain that the bears could not stand the pain, and the bear commits suicide. How do they commit suicide? Because the hole was already cut in their body with no anesthesia. They just pull their guts out and they kill themselves. The bears have feelings, you know, they kill, because they cannot subject themselves to so much chronic pain, so they kill themselves. But the manufacturers were so clever, they tied the bears up so that they could not exercise their hands. So they were always constantly lying, and this hole is constantly there, sucking out the bladder liquid from there to manufacture medicine. And one bear could live for about 20 years in this way. Every day they suck two or three times. So I think they do an estimate of 17,000 times or 16,000 times per life, per bear, per bear. That's chronic pain, you know. You think just that country manufacture, use animal renderings to manufacture medicines? A lot of other countries, they mistreat animals. They subject animals to chronic pain. What's the effect? Maybe that's the reason why you subject yourself to chronic pain now. And of course, there are people who are struggling for the protection of bears. There was one lady in it's not a North American lady. I saw that lady on pictures. She was running everywhere to save those black bears, even in the country where they manufacture this bladder liquid. And I think his name is Mary or something. Her name is Mary. I don't know. I forgot. I saw her photo. So who do you choose to be? You want to choose to be Mary, the protector of bears, or the manufacturer, the killers of bears? That's your choice. Who do you want to be? I want to be the saver of bears. I don't want to be the killers of bears. So maybe it's because of previous life's karma. So what you do is you really have to repent. There is a way to repent on what you have done in the past. That's the reason why every Sunday we have a repentance ceremony. We're kneeling to the Buddha and say, whatever we have done in the past is because out of my greediness and my ignorance, I repent. I don't want to do them again. A repentance would wash away a lot of the sinful feeling. So you repent on what you have done in the past, and you're not going to do it again. And the Buddha would render blessings on you to remove your chronic pain, because the Buddha would be very sympathetic. The Bodhisattva, who are saviors and helpers of people who suffer, would try to help you out. So the first one is repentance. The second one is not to do any of those anymore. The third is always. Maybe you chant the Buddha medicine mantra every day. I chant it every day. I chant at least 21 times. I chant the long form for 3 times and at least 21 times for the short form. Is that not that difficult? Namo Bhagavate Vaisajya Guru Vaidaraya Praparajaya Daragataya Arahate Samya Sampadaya Tariyata Om Vaisajya 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 Sambhagati Swaha 3 times and then you the short form. Om Vaisajya 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 Samagati Swaha Om Vaisajya 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 Samagati Swaha. And you are visualizing the Buddha of medicine radiating Buddha of medicine light on you to wash away your sin and to help you to recuperate. You've got to rely on a third, on other source to heal your chronic pain. If that pain arises out of karma, if that pain arises because no other medicines can cure you. So you need the Buddha and Bodhisattva's help. So in that book that we have back there in the meditation hall on that page, why don't you take a photocopy and go home and meditate and chant the Buddha of Medicine mantra, requesting the Buddha of Medicine's help to help you to alleviate to lessen your chronic pain. And you repent, of course, for what you have done in the past that caused this chronic pain. And consider the pain as a repayment of debt. Yeah, I'm subject myself to a pain, but I'm repaying every day. Every minute that I suffer, I'm repaying what I have done, which is good. I'm lessening my karmic energy, my bad karmic energy. And I'm not going to do this bad karmic energy anymore. I want to pursue the Buddha's purification way, the nirvana way. So that's how you do. In the meantime, I don't have the power to relieve you of the chronic pain. Don't come to me and say what kind of medicine I have. I don't have. But I can tell you through me, from the Buddha's teaching, to tell you that the mantra is your medicine. The more efforts to try to do it. If I were you, I would do it at least 108 times per day. I'd do my prostration, and do my repentance, and chant every day. In the future, we will have a picture or a statue of the Buddha of medicine in the second floor above the above the main kitchen. We'll have a big Buddha of medicine, and you can visualize that Buddha image, statue, and in your chanting, you can visualize that and radiating light on you. How about an active monkey mind? How do you do it? We already have explained it in the 9 stages of mental development. So to overcome that, you need mental placement, continuous placement, patch placement, close placement, taming, pacification, complete pacification, one-pointedness of attention, and balance placement. It's all in that, it's all in the summary. And also when you're meditating on that target, on that object of attention, do not pull so hard that you kill the monkey. You do it slowly and gradually.